Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. Ashley and I could not be more excited to be talking to you on week two of Matt James's season of The Bachelor. Ashley, what's up?
Hi, Ben. Not much. I mean, I have a lot to say about this episode. Mostly about Victoria. I feel like 75% of all I have to talk about today is Victoria.
It's a lot, isn't it? Well, hey, we're going to break down this week's episode in just a bit. Before we do have some incredible guests today. Chris Bandy and Luke Pell are coming on here in just a second. Chris Bandy is a country singer. Luke Pell was in his music video. We got to figure out what in the heck, how did Luke Pell get in a country music video when Luke Pell is a country singer? And also later on in the podcast, we're going to have Bennett Jordan on, as well as somebody I'm super pumped to talk to. And I know Bachelor Nation is falling in love with this person via social media. Susanna, the Bachelor analyst. Now, you might have seen her recently with her Bachelor Instagram kind of breaking down all the data from the seasons and talking about who gets more followers, who's spending more time on air, who's not, whatever. It's super interesting. And Ashley, cool. I know you and I are both fans of her.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool to get her insights from this season. Like, she has real data, guys. Like, I'm looking at a chart right now. It's like 42.4% of the screen time is given to white contestants. 38% is given to non-contestants. So, like, the lead and Chris Harrison. So, very interesting stuff like that.
It's a super interesting concept she came up with. I didn't know about it until Tayshia's season, so maybe it existed beforehand. But we're going to talk to her. We're also going to break down the episode. It's an action-packed Almost Famous podcast. Ashley, before we get into our very first interview, as we mentioned last week, and we're going to mention again, if you go to myfanthreads.com/almostfamous. Now, MyFanThreads is a company I started with a buddy a little over a year ago, and we do on-demand printing for apparel. Well, Almost Famous has teamed up with MyFanThreads to start an apparel line. This stuff's great. It just says like Almost Famous, which who doesn't want to wear something that says Almost Famous? You go to myfanthreads.com/almostfamous to pick up our podcast merchandise. It would be a huge help to us, and just I think it's good stuff.
It is. Thank you guys for supporting the show. You can do so by buying some merch.
Hey, our very first guest of this podcast is somebody that we have been intrigued by, confused by, we've been a huge fan of, and at times questioned, which is why it's so great to have him on this podcast, because now we get to ask him these questions in person and hear his answers. And like we always say, once you hear somebody's story, it's really hard not to like him. Well, Bennett, welcome to the Almost Famous podcast.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Hey, pleasure Bennett. To be here. How's your day going?
Good.
Really good.
Look what I'm wearing on your behalf.
Oh, that a girl. That a girl.
I got my Harvard sweatshirt on.
I love it. I love it. Staying cozy. Good, good.
So, Bennett, the way that Ben introduced you was so perfect. We loved you. We were confused by you. We were like, what's he thinking sometimes? We were always entertained by you. How did you come home from filming The Bachelorette and think you were going to look versus how you did come across?
You know, I knew that I was kind of put through the ringer there at the end, you know, and I had some ups and downs. I knew it was going to be a bit compromising. I didn't know, you know, to the extent on the beginning of the journey, how things would kind of shake out with the, you know, scene with Damar doing the Chateau, you know, Benet tour or the roast or anything like that. So I didn't have many expectations, but I knew that, I knew what I put out there. I was very confident in it. And I knew that the ending was going to be highly dramatic. And I was hoping that, you know, after we went sort of full circle at the very end, I'd be left in a good light. And hopefully people would be a little bit maybe confused or, you know, thinking into me a bit more and hopefully understanding that I was coming from a good place.
Well, I think one of my favorite parts of this last season, and I love the season, was the tour with Damar. I think that was hilarious. I think it was, it really was the time where it was like, okay, but here's my question for you. I was on the side of this whole thing being, hey, he isn't putting on a character. This is who Bennett is. And then that scene aired. I'm like, okay, he's playing this up a little bit. Like he knows what he knows what he's walking into. He's a Harvard guy. He's fine dressed. Is he playing into this character or not? And then I never quite figured out if it was a character or if this is who you are. And so if like we were sitting down across from each other, I would ask you this question, like, who are you, Bennett? Like, are you that guy or was this just you following along with what the show wanted?
You know, it's a great question, Ben. I think it's probably a little bit of a combination, but for the most part, you know, it's me. I think when I was given a massive, you know, room compared to the other guys, I started scratching my head a little. That seemed a little bit odd, seemed a little bit off. You know, a number of the guys thought I was a producer for a few weeks and thought I was kind of on the other side. So that was a strange one.
An undercover producer?
Exactly. That was a funny one to me when they, you know, a couple of guys told me that. But basically, I took it in stride. I kind of realized what I put out there, the first, you know, perceptions of me being a well-dressed guy, New York guy, Harvard guy. And, you know, as I said, I think those are all kind of pretty hateable characters for America, characteristics for America right off the bat. You know, you kind of want to poke holes in that guy and figure out, you know, what's wrong with them. So I thought that, you know, given that I had the kind of big room in the Chateau, out of the gates, I knew I was going to be fighting against that to try to let my, you know, true colors and personality and, heart really above all else shine through at the end. So that was the challenge that was kind of set forth with me, knowing that, you know, who wouldn't be jealous of a guy that's given a massive room? That was really the biggest, I guess, hurdle. But, you know, Ben, honestly, the majority of it is me. I think, you know, I'm very well aware and assured of myself and know how I carry myself. I know how that can come across. And sometimes you have to play that down a little bit and hopefully, you know, joke along with everyone and get, you know, on their good side. But I know what first impressions are like. You know, it's nothing new. I'm very used to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So how big was your room? Like, what was the living situation like in this place? Because normally we are used to like having to bunk in a room with like 12 people. You had your own room and it was bigger than everybody else's?
Yeah. I had my own room. I had a living area with a couple of couches and a fireplace.
Sounds nice.
I had a kitchen. I had a half bath. I had a full bath. I had a fireplace in the bathroom that was also in my bedroom. I had a king size bed. And then I had a hot tub and a pool all to myself. My mornings, you know, were pretty great. I'd wake up super early. You know, try to get out and, you know, it's obviously very hot in the desert, get a little yoga in, get a little dip in the pool, make a green juice and go get breakfast before, you know, most of the other guys were already up, you know, even up. So what was their
living situations like? I mean, if yours was like that, give the comparison to what they, I mean, no wonder they're a little jealous.
Yeah, exactly. No, the other guys' rooms were generally a typical hotel room and most of them had roommates. So it was like a double bed where you could reach across and hold your roommate's hand while sleeping if you really wanted to. Needless to say, there's plenty of reasons for people to be jealous or like, you know, why is this guy getting special treatment and stuff like that?
Interesting. Okay, so one of the most mind-boggling moments for us as viewers was that you came back after you were eliminated and Tayshia was not ready to let you go. And she had you come to the rose ceremony. But based on the way that you left her initially, I think a lot of us were like, okay, yeah, he's gone, right? She doesn't care. But she apparently cared. You guys had something that was stronger than what we saw. Do you think that there were a lot of moments of significance that were not shown?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, you know, talk too much about behind the scenes things I can't, right? But there were definitely some really, really heartfelt moments there. I think we had a really special moment. We saw snippets of it where we were talking about our prior relationships, you know, my engagement, her marriage, you know, and I think some of the guys that, you know, went even further than me down to the very end there didn't even know that she had been, you know, engaged. And I'm talking like, you know, final four guys going into the final four didn't realize that. So, you know, certainly had some very, you know, impactful, heartfelt moments. I think I had speckled a lot of things alluding to, you know, my background, my childhood, my upbringing and all of those things, you know, like in that art scene, I said, you know, the furthest thing I've come from is, you know, a privileged background and just trying to speckle things along the way as much as you can. So you can hopefully be awarded that one-on-one time that's really required to, you know, get your full story out there. Unfortunately, it was cut a little bit short, and so it didn't get to get, you know, that full spectrum, you know, in our hometowns or anything like that. But, you know, there was definitely a lot of heartfelt moments there, and, you know, I had very, very, very real feelings, you know, for Tayshia.
So, two follow-up questions, and I'll start with this one. What was your upbringing like? Because I don't think we got into it. When you sprinkle that in and you're hoping to tell more of it, what would you have told Tayshia?
I mean, obviously, you know, getting to, you know, introduce your family is one thing, but, I think what, you know, meets the eye, like those first impressions that we were talking about earlier here in the interview, right? You know, successful Harvard, New York, privileged, you know, rich guy. And that's certainly, you know, not me. I came from a very, very modest background growing up in suburbia of Atlanta. You know, my family did very much value education. And I'm lucky that, you know, my mom and my dad were big on that and put me through private school and such. But I was always on extreme financial aid, you know, and it was a situation where, you know, times were tough. Money was tight, you know, growing up. You know, I remember times when you know, as a kid, I went to public school through fifth grade. And, you know, I remember counting pennies to try to roll up, you know, a dollar because that's what it cost for public school lunch. You know, back in the day, it was a buck. And, you know, there was mornings where I had to do that. You know, my dad was actually homeless during the time that I was at Harvard. Not a lot of kids that I went to school with, you know, had homeless fathers, you know, as you might imagine. So, you know, there's what meets the eye, and then there's kind of, you know, what's deep down here. And there's a whole heck of a lot that makes me who I am today. And that makes me as confident as I am and who I am and what I'm putting out there, because I know my heart. And was, you know, a little bit unfortunate that it was cut short and Tayshia didn't get to get that full spectrum. But, you know, it is what it is.
So one of the moments that I think most confused us or maybe made you into a character we couldn't understand. So you have this story, and I appreciate, thank you for sharing your background.
Sure.
But it was the Noah gifting side of things, right? This is a moment that I think was the lead up. We're watching it. We're going, okay, this is going to be something nice. This is going to kind of calm the waters. They're going to be able to move through this. And it obviously did not do that. It became a story that lasted longer. What was your intention with doing that? Because I'll be honest, if I was sitting in Noah's seat, I would have been offended. Sure. I would have been thrown off. I would have been confused. It wouldn't have felt like a good gift. So sure. What were you hoping to get out of it?
Yeah. So, you know, twofold. Noah, as we were kind of leading up to that moment, you know, Noah was the one that told, well, actually Tayshia, let me take that back. Tayshia was the one that said, you know, I'm going to get to the bottom of this tension with you guys. I was kind of confused at that point because aside from a few, you know, comments here and there, I never really felt tension. I had plenty of tension, you know, growing up in a sort of household with an abusive, you know, father. I know tension, and any comments back and forth between Noah and I certainly didn't really amount to tension in my mind. And so that, you know, going into it, I was kind of curious as to what, you know, his beef was, because he had also said repeatedly the same night that said that Tayshia said she was going to get to the bottom of this. Noah had said, you know, I think you're cool. I think you're smart. I think you're a good guy. And I think you're funny. And so, you know, you kind of add those things up, and it left me questioning what actually is going on here? What is, you know, this, you know, tension? You don't say that you think someone's funny and cool and smart if you have, you know, beef and tension with them, generally speaking. So when I made the gift, you know, it was certainly a parting gift. I thought the parting was probably going to go a different way than it did. But the idea was to give him, you know, three things. One, something that, you know, showed that I was funny because he said that I was funny. Two, something that showed that I was a good guy and that I had no actual beef or, you know, tension with him and wanted to be, you know, friends when we get out of here. And then three, this is something that, you know, means a lot to me, the emotional intelligence piece. And obviously the one that came off as being, you know, condescending. I think probably all of them ended up coming off as condescending, but the one that was more impactful was the book. And that was coming from a place where, you know, I've got a younger brother who's 12 years my junior. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Noah's, 11 years my junior. So it's a pretty easy, you know, comparison there. And I don't think, you know, honestly, to me, I think age is a bit more than a number. I think age is, you know, the sum of your experience and your life experience. And as you know, you mature as a person, you gain emotional intelligence, hopefully, knock on wood, you know, over time. But it was a book that I had read, you know, a number of times and had sort of thought about it going into the journey and then was reflecting on it as I was coming into this, you know, two-on-one with Noah. And I had all of these different instances and in how, you know, he had acted in various stages of the journey and how I had acted. And I simply, you know, wanted to kind of give him that comparison and leave it as a bit of a teaching, you know, learning moment. And hopefully it would dissolve the tension, you know, at the same time. And, you know, from a tertiary benefit, from my standpoint, make it very glaringly obvious to Tayshia who, you know, the person is that she should keep around. But unfortunate, it went the other way.
Now, in hindsight, do you regret the gift? Do you think it would have changed things?
You know, I don't, because I know that it was me being true. It was coming from a genuine place. You know, I did think it would be, you know, some good entertainment. I also thought it would be a genuine way to deliver something that I care a lot about. I guess, you know, the kind of regret in thinking back on it, maybe I should have just gone up to Tayshia and said, hey, Tayshia, if you really want to be with Noah, then you definitely don't want to be with a man like me. I totally understand that. I'm happy to walk out of here right now. And just left the onus, you know, totally on her, because I think that could have been another mic drop moment where it's just like, that would have left the audience thinking, why did, you know, Tayshia pick Noah over Bennett? And then I wouldn't have had this whole sort of spiel leading people to be able to point their finger at me and say that I'm condescending. But, you know, it really doesn't bother me. I know how I, you know, put things out there and I know where it's coming from. So it is what it is.
You came back after being eliminated in that moment and told Tayshia that you were in love with her. Once you left the Bachelor bubble, did you reassess that statement?
So you're referring to when I left for the second time, right? When I was fully gone.
When you said, I love you. Yes. 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 Did you reassess it? Like, I mean, when you exited the Bachelor bubble and you like were on the plane home and you're like, now that I'm removed a little bit, I don't know if I truly.
No, you know, in that moment, I absolutely, you know, felt that way. I think any of us who have used the L word throughout our lives at different stages, at different times, at different places, you know, it means different things and you have various levels of emotions at this point, you know, in my life, I have a sense and a feeling for that. I was completely all in. I could really envision Tayshia and I ending up together. And, you know, there was the moment there after we had talked about, you know, our prior relationships where I felt like I was beginning to fall in love with her, didn't get the chance to really, you know, deliver that. I think I had it, you know, said it in an interview, but kind of, you know, fast forwarding a little bit and going through the things that I went through and the first kind of go away and then the coming back, I'd really had time to reflect and dig into my thoughts and my feelings and emotions. And I wanted to, you know, put that out there. That is how I felt, you know, at that time.
Bennett, obviously your ride on this whole show has been crazy. You're a character that we're going to talk about for a long time to come. You've made a name for yourself. So as we look into the future, will you still continue to have involvement with the franchise? And if somebody asks you to go to Paradise, would you say yes?
Oh man. You know, Paradise is, you know, one thing I'm not certain on that. I love the franchise. I love the experience. I would, you know, do it all over again, you know, tomorrow. I think it's really going to come down to both a personal and business, you know, sort of decision for me. If it's the time that Paradise is coming around where I'm at, you know, in the year where I'm at, you know, emotionally, relationship wise, all of those things. You know, right now, I don't think that I would do it. I'm not saying that for any reason other than I have a lot of work to do this year and a lot of things that I'm looking to accomplish. But, you know, I'll never say never. And, you know, I also just kind of want to reflect on whether or not Paradise is the best place for me to go and find love.
Well, I can tell you one thing. If you do go and you get a fancier room there, it's going to go down. Because that's an upgrade that people will just not be okay with. It's not going to be funny.
You don't think that's going to work in Paradise?
No.
Maybe he'll get his own chateau to himself.
Yeah,
nice air conditioning.
I was thinking maybe a yacht that just parked out in the ocean, and then you could have people take dinghies over to me or something like that. Maybe that would work out. That might be a good way to do the chateau.
I mean, that would be freaking hilarious. Now you're already putting creative ideas into the producers' minds.
Yeah. There you go. Hopefully they already got some things churning. But, you know, I just really, you know, Paradise-wise, it's a flattering, you know, consideration. And, you know, I'll continue to think about it. And I'm totally open to it. I'm not saying no, but, you know, just something that's kind of going through my mind with everything else, you know, in the world.
Well, before we let you go, I just got to ask, have you been on a date since appearing on the show?
And was it with Andy Dorfman?
No, Andy Dorfman. You know, I've been on a couple of dates and, you know, they've been all right. Nothing exceptional, nothing repeated. You know, I've had a couple of one-offs and that's about it.
Okay.
Hey, at least you're out there, buddy. Hey, Bennett, thanks for coming on again. You were great content for our podcast. We talked about you a ton. Awesome. Thank you for joining us today. Wish you the best. And I think Ashley and I have said it for weeks now, even in the midst of the most confusion about you, is we hope to see you on Paradise. We hope to see you there. And you know what? If you do pull up in a yacht, I'm not going to blame you. I cannot think, I would not be mad at you at all. I would say that guy is doing it right.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Bye, Bennett.
Hey, we'll talk to you soon.
Have a great one.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source, and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, as we mentioned, we're going to break down this week's episode as we do every week during a season. This is the second episode of Matt James's season. We're really starting to get to know the contestants a little more. However, nothing this episode to me was shocking. Ashley, I want to hear if you have the same opinion. And I say that because I think what we saw on night one felt like a good sense of what we got on week two. Ashley, I know you have some strong feelings about this episode. Take it away.
But yeah, yes, agree with you. I think that we saw a lot of the same faces get screen time this episode as we did last week. Like the girls that we expected to see growth with, we got. When I say that, I specifically mean Bree and Sarah. They both had great one-on-ones this week, really meaningful conversations. But as far as things that are shocking goes, I have to disagree because I think that Victoria, her whole being is shocking to me.
But it wasn't, but it was expected.
Okay,
right?
Fine.
You watch, yeah, okay, not shocked. Okay. It was expected.
Okay, it was expected. You're right. But her as a human being to me is beyond. Like, I was watching that, this thinking like, is she an actress? Because normally you see the villains, and you know, you guys, when we use the term villain, like the
controversial character,
because oftentimes villains are very kind-hearted and they're different than what we see on TV. But with controversial characters, we see them like give a sly smile, laugh at themselves, be cracking jokes, have a sense of self-awareness. We see them like almost enjoy egging people on. I think that with Victoria, this is her natural constant state of being. In every grade of school she ever went through and every friend group she's ever maybe had, she has the kind of personality that I don't know how she can keep a friend, as horrible as that is to say. She's just a nuisance, and she is so reactive to everything. Everything's offensive, everything is rude, everything sets her off, and everything is the hugest deal ever. How do you feel?
Yeah, well, here's my take, and it's the very first time I've ever watched a season, and you know this, and people who've listened to the podcast know this. I'm never one to say that this thing is scripted, like ever.
Yeah.
Like I've been in it for too long. I would have known by now. Like it's never
yes.
been scripted.
Yeah.
And after the first episode, I think I told you, Ashley, well, this seems weird. This is the very first time I'm watching this character on television. I'm going, was it placed?
Yeah.
Like, because this feels like a lot, and typically like, you might not be there to make friends, but you're there to at least try to like get along and not start stuff out of nowhere. And it takes a few weeks for people to kind of understand each other and get annoyed by each other. This is fiery right away. But here's where I want to switch the conversation to. This season has so many great characters, so many great stories, so many important people that like are just really incredible humans. And I don't want this to fall into what we've seen for the last few seasons, mm-hmm. where all of a sudden the controversial characters take up the first 4 weeks of the show.
It's going to happen.
It's not fun, but it's not fun for me to watch. Maybe it's fun for the viewer. Maybe that is entertaining. Maybe that's what you want to see. But I feel like this, out of any season, has so many great storylines to it that we don't need it. Like, we don't need the controversial characters right now. And I don't want to sit at my TV and feel judgy the whole time. Because I'm like, why are you getting mad? This is ridiculous. This is annoying. Like, I don't want to have that, like, reaction. I want to sit there and enjoy what's going on in Nemecolon.
At least usually when we get the 4 weeks of controversial characters, they're entertaining to some degree. We kind of love to hate watch them. I noticed this last week, but like there's nothing I love about watching her.
It's getting hard. Week two was at times confusing. It's definitely going to be a storyline, at least for a few weeks, I would imagine. Like, I don't know if Matt's caught on yet. No, I think he's confused. But okay. I think he's confused.
Let's just like skip over. Let's just concentrate on Victoria and that whole Victoria Maryland storyline for a second. And then we'll go on to the good parts of the episode. I think that that could be his only downfall as far as not having experience in the franchise. Like, he's not seeing the situation clearly. I have no idea why he seems to be taking Victoria's word more than the very sane-seeming Marilyn.
Well, I think at least the first couple weeks, you're right. I do think his experience plays into it. He's not used to the drama in the house. He doesn't know how these things usually go, right? If you're in the house, you see people start to disagree and argue, and you're usually like a little more attuned to that. He doesn't have that. And so if he doesn't have that, then you have this sit down. It's the very first time that he's been really confronted with anything controversial yet, which week two is really early to be kind of, you know, confronted with anything controversial. And so now I bet his mind, I'm assuming here, but I bet his mind goes to a place of intrigue, of curiosity, of what's going on and how do I do this well? Because as we've said it every season, the mark of a good bachelor, bachelorette, is not if they're likable or not, right? They're going to be likable. It's how do they handle controversial and difficult situations? So he's now, because he and I talked about before the season, like, I'm sure in the back of his head, and he's probably not listening to me at this point. He's just doing what he does best. But it's like, I've been in the back of his head. He's going, how do I handle this well? I don't want to mess up right away. This feels like a big issue. How do I do this and make sure that this doesn't ruin the show?
I guess.
Or my experience.
My natural instinct, if I even had not been part of the show before, would be, let me talk to some other people about how they view these two characters.
But that gets dangerous, Ashley, and we've seen leads do that in the past. And when you bring in the mob and you bring in the group, then all of a sudden there becomes like somebody that is vilified, maybe for the wrong reasons. Maybe people don't have something out to get her. And like, you want to keep this as closed as you can so it doesn't spread out amongst the whole group, that it doesn't become a controversy amongst the whole group, because you want to keep your drama isolated if you can as a lead. And handle it there, confront it there. Now, if you later on need to move to the group, you can. But I wouldn't recommend going out and being like, hey, these two girls, like, and you don't want to talk about other girls with other girls.
No,
like,
I mean, I get it. But also, Matt, just like, based on just sitting down with the two of them, which one do you think is more dramatic? Like, it's just very obvious to me that the drama queen, who's maybe a little off-putting, maybe a little bit too much in certain circumstances, like just like kissing you and grabbing you all the time and having your bra strap show at a formal event, you're just like, which one is maybe a little bit more off in this situation?
And I'm sure he's starting to become attuned to it, right? He's starting to ask around to producers, hey, what's going on here? Give me some insight. And they're going to start, like, they're not going to tell him, but they're going to start like helping him. He's going to start asking the right questions, I think, now. Like, you see it week two. He's going to start asking the right questions now. But here's always the thing to remember. We can't forget this. Is you and I and every other viewer gets to watch this show and see everything go down. Like, we see the issues in the house. We see the conversations in the house. We see the arguments and the drama in the house. Matt doesn't see that. He hasn't experienced it yet. He's getting small snippets of that. And as he starts to become more attuned to it, more knowledgeable, we're going to see him, I think, start to go, wait, this isn't okay. Like, this needs to stop. Or maybe he's into it. We don't know yet.
Maybe he's into Victoria's nuttiness.
Maybe. We don't know yet. Like, what if this, I mean, hey, we never know how this thing can play out. I've been more shocked in my life watching this show. But like, we don't know yet what Matt's into. We're just getting to know him as well.
I just have to say, like, my heart goes out to to Marilyn for having to have to room with her. And if she gets eliminated because of her, like, man, does that girl deserve a spot in paradise? Like, give it to her now. Oh,
I'm sure she's going to get it. It's just, you know, it's similar to what's his face? I forget his name at this point. But the guy from it was on Claire's season night one when he confronted Yosef and then he was sent home.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that same guy has a very similar storyline. He's going, hey, something's wrong here. This isn't okay. This guy isn't who he said he is. I want to bring this to your attention on night one so that, like, this can be stopped. And then he's the one that goes home. Yosef stays, and we forgot about him, and he got the raw end of the deal. So maybe the two of them can go up to paradise. Ashley, let's skip now to the one-on-one date.
Okay.
The very first one-on-one of the season. It's a big deal. We're going to talk to our Bachelor data analyst here in a little bit about how important the one-on-one is. Mm-hmm. But Ashley, you know, Bree was one of your favorites after last week.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you're pumped to see her go on the stage.
Definitely put her in my top four. She's definitely staying in my top four. They go on ATV rides. It was very cute, very authentic feeling because he, well, turned the car over. And that was really scary. And I audibly gasped. But at least they had something to kind of laugh about and break the tension. Like, no awkward moments after you experience something like that together. Maybe they joked about it a little bit too much. But then
I was going to say, you could tell. Yeah. I was going to say, that's like the first thing. And I mean, you expect it. I think people are going to like find it endearing. But it's like the very first time that you see, oh, Matt hasn't done this before.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't understand yet that he's going to have a bajillion conversations. He really, I mean, here's the secret. You just got to ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to have something to say about everything because you have, you know, 20 conversations a day. So ask a lot of questions to your date.
Yeah.
And at this point, we saw, I think, for the first time, I was watching it. Jessica was watching it. We're like, okay, they've brought this up a lot.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like the space filler we don't need.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe that they kept showing it. I was like, wow, they keep showing it. This must really be all that they're talking about right now. But they finally get over that hump when they sit down to dinner and they talk about their relationships with their dads and how in the family that they wish to develop in their futures, they want very present dads. They want to have a close family unit to call their own. It was definitely something that they bonded over last week and continue to do this week. I like it. They're on the same page. She's really pretty, very sweet. He's very sweet. I feel it. She gets the rose.
I mean, you know, Bree and Matt, once they got over the whole, like, hey, we fell off and sorry for, like, talk, you know, that ended, we did get to see them both open up. And the cool thing is, like, you know, Bree really shares her story, and it's one where her mom was pregnant at 13 with Bree. And Bree is a fantastic human. Like, how incredible is this story to really, like, think about?
I thought about it a lot, to be honest. It was like I had to press pause and just let that soak in. The mom she was 13 and she had a baby and she grew up. It looks like she just turned out a beautiful human. And it's
something
crazy
awesome.
Crazy to think that her mom now is 37 and her mom is starting another cycle of her life again. You know, I think she's engaged.
Here's something crazy.
Yeah.
Here's something that I thought about. Her mom could have been the Bachelorette, could still be the Bachelorette. And she, like, I mean, think about it. Claire was older than her mom.
Her mom is younger than Claire.
And that's, like, super impressive. Like, this whole thing is something to be, like, what an incredible mother she has.
Yeah.
What an incredible, like story that is. And Bree's awesome. But, like, that puts things into perspective where, like, her mom is, kind of at the age where you could go on the show. I don't know if her mom's single or what.
She's
but
not.
Like,
she's engaged and having a new baby.
Oh, well, that's huge.
Yeah.
Well, that's massive. Celebrate that. She's not going to come on the show. She's doing her own thing now. Well, Ashley, as we see this date kind of play out, we obviously, you know, love Bree, and we think she's going to be around a long time. She's incredible. She gets the rose. We've already spoken about the Victoria drama that just kind of keeps popping up throughout this date and throughout the first part of this episode and really throughout the whole episode. But we then move into Matt's very first group date with Victoria being on it. Now, Ashley, I think you know what I'm going to say, but I'm not a fan. I'm a fan of the show. I like what I like a lot of the show. I'm never a fan of the whole wedding stuff, and I think they've overplayed it. And I just don't love the idea of these wedding picture things. I think the photographer is great. I think he's fun, but like, we got to stop it.
Come on.
It's every season now.
I know, it's so weird. I was like, we saw this 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's like, you guys, you're creative. You come up with a lot of good stuff. I know that it's limiting now that you're shooting in one spot, but the wedding dress thing has got to go. Stop. Like, it's a special time to put a wedding dress on. Don't just make it like it's nothing.
It's just a little awkward, right? Especially on the first group day. Like, Matt's standing there. And one other thing that I feel like a critic right now, and I do mean to be, I guess, is it's never great to set the bachelor or the lead up to have to kiss other contestants in front of the other contestants. Yeah. It's just not right. It's awkward. It's not good for the heart. Like, it, you know, once you see it, you're never going to get like really it out of your mind, kind of. And I know it's playful and it's fun and whatever, but like the whole concept of that was like just not fun for me to watch. I didn't get anything out of it.
For me particularly, it's the first kiss. I'm like, why would you waste your first kiss, girls? Because he wasn't going in for any of these kisses.
No.
In front of people. Like, when you're basically throwing yourself at him, like, wait for a moment that builds.
So this wasn't my favorite day, but it kind of turned into something fun. It felt, though, like this day, and I love it. It became chaos. And I think, like, the show did a good job at showing us it. But I'm sure, like, if you were on that date, that whole, like, obstacle course, like, thing that they were doing in the wedding dresses, it became just kind of a mess. Like, I don't think it made any sense. And so you just have a bunch of people running around trying to get this heart. Finally, somebody wins, and it, like, closed the deal. But I think watching it was just probably confusing to be there. No, there was no rules. And Polly was asleep at the couch.
Polly is a stage manager who's been playing a bigger role as seasons go on. He was the ref here. Very, very sweet man. He also makes you very nervous because you oftentimes, as part of the cast, only see him during rose ceremonies. But he's so, so sweet. Anyway, I just kind of want to reiterate what you just said. I think that these types of battle dates never do anything for me. They don't tell you much about somebody's personality and I days out. But then, of course, whose team goes on to get the nighttime portion of the date? It's Victoria's. And Victoria was devastated that she didn't get the group date rose. But for all of us watching, it was obvious that it was going to go to Lauren. Lauren and Matt had a great conversation. She said that the reason that her parents have been together in such a happy, long marriage is because the church, God, has always been first and foremost in their relationship. And Matt's basically like, that is the kind of relationship that I want, but I never talk about it with other women. So I thought it was a really big deal. I also thought they had pretty cute flirty banter when they were talking about Wake Forest versus North Carolina.
Yeah, it was a cool moment because, you know, you're week two. You don't know these women very well. Matt's probably super stoked because they're beautiful. But you're still like unconvinced a little bit that there's somebody there actually for you. So he has somebody sit down across from him and say the things that he's always dreamed of hearing in a partner. And he's taken back. Like he's like almost speechless in his response, if there was one, because I think he's just like, holy cow, like I've got an amazing group of beautiful, incredible, kind women. And you see that kind of play out with Lauren throughout this group date. She does get the group date rose, not surprising. Which leads us into the next one-on-one. Sarah gets the one-on-one. I'm a big fan of Sarah. I think she has, she's going to go a long ways. I don't know if she's won for Matt, but I think she has a big personality. I think she's like really into Matt. I think she was a great choice for an early one-on-one. But Victoria's, you know, again, we bring her up. She's upset that she doesn't get this one-on-one. She's upset that she's not getting more time with him, which, hey, it's week two. Like, we've all got to pause a bit. But Sarah does go on the one-on-one. And they go on a biplane, which, as I'm watching it, Ashley, my palms are sweaty.
So scared.
Because so scared.
Yeah.
I mean, what an incredible way to capture it. Like, the video footage is amazing. But it makes it so, like, I just get so nervous.
Yeah, the foliage is beautiful, but no, I plan on never getting in a plane that small forever. Not my jam. I would be very nervous up there. I understand that adrenaline boosting type of date really bonds you quickly, but it's a hard no for me. Not that, of course, yeah. Though, if I was on The Bachelor, I'd be like, fine, let's go up there. Did you ever do anything that you felt very, very uncomfortable, physically in danger of when you were The Bachelor? No,
I got pretty lucky. There was never any like massive heights, which I just don't love. We ate a lot of weird food, and that's great with me. I kind of enjoyed that. But yeah, I got lucky.
Yeah, so Sarah and Matt sit down like a little campfire environment after their plane ride. He could tell that she wasn't really opening up about her family.
Yeah.
And it was quite obvious to anyone, I think, that there was something that she was missing out on. So he encourages her to do so again over dinner. And that's when she talks about her dad living with ALS, which is just the most, honestly, like, fear-inducing disease to me. Like, it's just so awful. And my heart goes out to her and her family and her dad. And she is so strong and she's so amazing being a caregiver for her father. You can just, like, feel the strength of their relationship. But you know what was, like, the most, such a great Bachelor moment to me in all of this? Was when he, you know, Matt is like overwhelmed by the fact that she's choosing to be there dating him. And then he said, is there anything that I can do to prove that I am like worthy of being a partner to you?
What a cool question, right? I mean, it's hard to like equal the playing field, you know, when you're The Bachelor and you have contestants for The Bachelor and you have contestants, because it kind of typically feels like the contestants are trying to prove themselves to The Bachelor.
Like auditioning and, for him.
Yeah. And one of the coolest things I think any league can do is kind of level the playing field and say, no, this is about us. Yeah. Like, this is our experience. This is our journey. This is not about me having any type of power here. It's about us figuring out if there's love that can exist in this environment between us. And obviously, you know, we sit here as the audience. We got to meet Sarah's dad during, you know, the very first episode.
Yeah.
We kind of saw her family. So we all knew, like, what was going on. It couldn't be easy for her to talk about. But, like, this was a great moment when Matt responds with this. Because I think for her right now, she probably does have her family on her mind, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's a lot going on at home. And she obviously helps out a ton at home. And for Matt to say, like, hey, I just want you to be comforted that, like, you're going to be here as long as I'm interested in you and as long as you're interested in me. I'm not going to drag you along in this, but I also, along the way, want you to know that, like, I feel, I'm privileged to be, like, with you here in this environment. It's just really awesome. And this date was like, I was a little bit nervous for it when she wasn't saying anything, because I felt like Matt knew she was holding back and he's not really interested in somebody's going to hold back. Like, he wants their stories. So I was like, don't let this go. Like, don't not open up. Don't pull a Ben Smith and like have to come back on the show and say, hey, there's actually something that I meant to say. And she says it. And I feel like, you know, she, because of that Matt's response, like, she rose to one of my favorites. And we'll talk about it here later on after the episode. But what an incredible one-on-one date. We had some great one-on-one dates this episode. But that brings us into kind of the final part of this episode, which is the cocktail party. A big storyline there is we get to see Abigail again, who we've obviously missed this whole episode pretty much. She's great. And I mean, their connection's awesome. There's a comfort there. You know, obviously Matt's into her, but we already talked about the Victoria Maryland drama that becomes toxic at some level, just like Victoria was saying Maryland was toxic. Ashley, do you think this is going to be a big deal? Like, do you see Maryland going home from this?
Yeah, that's what I'm freaked out because if you look at the scenes from the next episode, it looks like the girls are really starting to be like, Victoria, like, needs to be gone. And I think that that's the kind of reaction you get when somebody undeservingly goes home. So worried about that. Very interesting that during the rose ceremony, the person that gets faint, starts blacking out, is Sarah, who has a rose. Those are incredibly intense moments. I know you guys watch at home and it's probably seems like borderline silly. You know, you're probably like, this is a show, blah, blah, blah. No, those are like, your heart is pounding during those moments. So I'm surprised we don't get more people who faint more often.
And let's not forget, this is not a secret anymore with the show. We're not giving anything away that hasn't been given away before. These rose ceremonies are not 10 minutes like we watch on TV. They're hours long. Yeah. Like there's cameras that drop. There's people that take breaks. There's new cameramen that come in. They pick up. The whole time the cast is standing there still. And like I don't know about anybody else. I once passed out at my uncle's wedding. Like I think it was, I mean, it's, it had to be over 20 years ago because I was standing up on stage for too long with my knees locked. And all of a sudden, down goes Ben. It can happen. Like, it's not shocking to me because you're standing up there for so long. That's it. That was a goofy little guy.
But yeah, your heart is pounding. Your nerves are raging for that long. But it was interesting that it was Sarah, which makes me like a little concerned. She even says in the voiceover that, you know, Matt's contemplation, like it could be, you know, this, who knows where this soundbite came from, but she says something about Matt possibly keeping Victoria makes her worried about whether she even should be sticking around.
I mean, yeah, we don't know where that plays out, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. But a couple few final notes here before we end this segment is really cool of MJ to stand up for Marilyn. I thought it was a really cool thing for her to do. Yeah. As Victoria sits down and starts saying, you know, Marilyn's toxic. And MJ very patiently, very calmly just goes, I've never seen her be like that.
Yeah, she's cool.
I can't support that because my opinion is that she's never been that way. And I think that's how you handle those well. And we see it with MJ. Ashley, if we rated this episode and then give us your top three contestants to this point.
Oh, my rate for the episode is... I paused just because I was thoroughly entertained, but a lot of it was because I was just in awe of Victoria's behavior. I'm going to go with another 8. Like, we had some mind-blowing 10 out of 10 episodes during Tayshia's season, so I'm going to use that as, like, the height.
The bar.
The bar.
Top three contestants right now.
Yeah, so definitely Brie. I'm still going to put Rachel in there. It's the same as last week. So it's Rachel, Brie, and Abigail. And I would say, like I said last week, Sarah's definitely up there, but I would put her in my top four.
I'm going to say a 7 because I just don't think we got enough out of it. I think it's week 2. Again, this is always a lull episode. We're going to get better here. I thought there were some like kind of awkward moments. I think Matt's getting the swing of things. I think he's going to be great. There was some drama that I just don't love watching. It just makes me feel uncomfortable and it kind of like hurts others in the process. So I'm going to give it a 7. Wasn't my favorite episode, but my top three, it's going to be Abigail, Brie, and I'm going to put Sarah up there as well now, over Rachel at this point. I think, Abigail, Brie, Sarah. Hey Ashley, let's take a break and we'll come back with Almost Famous Podcast.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, one of our favorite parts of the podcast is breaking down Bachelor headlines. We've got a few to break down for you today. Ashley, our resident expert on all things pop culture and Bachelor headlines, we're going to start with you on the very first one. Bachelor's Peter Weber moves to New York City after split from Kelly. He's ready to go, he says. This is according to Us Magazine. Ashley, this is confusing.
Okay, well, to make this a bigger I don't get it, Kelly's actually also moving to New York too. They're both moving to New York and they're just not going to live together. She says that she's not moving until March. She'll be in Florida until then. But that is freaking weird. Okay, so obviously it has nothing to do with the move. They broke up for way bigger reasons than the move. I don't know. I think that was probably obvious. But I just really didn't expect them both to end up in the same city.
It's just all weird. We know so little about this relationship, right? Like, it felt like it was good to the end. It felt like it was good till it wasn't. That's all we see publicly. But hey, next headline is, this is super interesting. Ashley, I need you to explain this to me because I tried to do it on my own, but I just couldn't figure it out. Twitter thread about Bachelor contestant Kristen Hopkins helping a former classmate goes viral. This according to People.
Okay, this is crazy and very cool. Kristen Hopkins, she's one of the attorneys on Matt's season. She hasn't had a lot of screen time yet, but hopefully she gets some because she's a hero. She went to school with this girl, and on their way back from an alumni event, the girl's on the train with her, and like they weren't together. Like it wasn't like they were going over each other's houses or like gonna go grab dinner or anything, but she was watching out for this girl because there was this guy who was being super creepy, talking about like babysitting for his daughter, just really hitting on the girl, but like not in a cute way. He apparently was married and he was kind of trying to cheat on his wife with this girl, but she says that she was being too dull, just not picking up on his creepy vibes. But Kristen did, and she went up to her and she said, girl, this man is creepy, he's hitting on you. And she just said basically that she saved her because she could have been getting off the train and getting in some trouble with this guy, but she prevented it.
So cool. Such a cool story to see, and really awesome that the girl remembered Kristen and then highlighted this story. It went viral, so a lot of people heard it this last week. Next story is one, obviously we have a couple headlines here about Heather Martin come back on the show. We'll wait and talk about those once she does. Well, the final headline today is one about the most recent Bachelor couple, Tayshia and Zach. Ashley, they were spotted out and about in New York City. What was going on?
Well, she ran a charity 5K with him this week, and gosh, I hope that she's a runner, because that would not be like an easy thing. I get in a couple and then all of a sudden I'm expected to run things.
It doesn't really feel like your thing, Ashley. It doesn't really feel like you and Jared met and you're like, let's go for a run. Like yeah. You work out, you love to work out, you stay in shape, but like running's not your like favorite, right?
Yeah, it's not. That's not my ideal workout, but I think that Tayshia fits the role, and it was very sweet to see them doing something for charity together.
It's awesome. Well, hey, Ashley, let's take a break here. When we come back, more of the Almost Famous Podcast.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source, and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys, we got Chris and Luke on the phone. You guys just did a new music video. I think the first question about getting a music video done right now is, how did you do it?
So luckily we shot that one before everything shut down for a while. I think okay. We shot that one probably last November, I guess, in 2019.
Wow.
So we didn't, it was easy to do it then.
Damn.
No social distancing or anything.
Well, this obviously is a great song. We have you on. Chris Bandy is on, and Luke Pell is in his music video. Chris, we've seen it done before where a bachelorette contestant is in a music video. Country seems to be our realm. Why did you choose Luke?
We had a few running scenes, and Luke looked much better running through the city of Nashville than I did. So he was our first call.
Is there any is there any romance in this video?
You know, it's kind of a funny story. So there is no romance. I think the only time that they were in a shot together was a big fight outside of a bar. Then the whole premise of the song is saying, you know, you've learned from your mistakes. You've grown up a little bit. You've taken all of your wrongdoings and become a better person from them. And then we kind of left it as a cliffhanger at the end. So kind of like the movie, The Breakup, you don't know whether or not they get back together or whether they don't. So it's kind of up to the viewer's perception.
We got Chris Bandy on. Again, Luke Pell was in his music video, Man Enough. Now, Luke, you're a country singer yourself. Is it common in the country world to be in somebody else's video? How did you decide? Was it even a tough decision at all?
It wasn't a tough decision at all. I love Chris and the whole team that works with him. And so when they asked me, I was like, heck yeah, dude, I'm down. I'm excited to do it. I'd known the song for a couple of years prior to, since I'd met Chris and we became friends. And his song before his record deal came out and happened and was signed and everything, he had already put that song out independently, and it had just killed it on Spotify. It was viral. And so I was a big fan of the song and of Chris and knew about it well before they asked me. And then when he got the record deal, that's when they went ahead and decided to do a big budget video and all those things. And so I was just, glad and honored to be a part of it.
Well, that begs the question. Chris, are you a Bachelor fan? Is that how you thought, Luke Pell, perfect to be a manly man in this role?
So I've watched a few seasons of The Bachelor. I would say not to my accord. My girlfriend is a fan, and I started following along because of her. But Luke and I actually met in the country music world, and we've played quite a few shows together and just hung out in Nashville. So we've been friends for a long time, and having him in the video was an awesome experience, kind of a full circle thing. And it was awesome to have him, and he killed it, as you can see in the video.
Well, something big, and I mean, my fiance's from Franklin, and so I've gotten to be around Nashville a little bit, gotten to meet a couple country singers. I know this is a huge deal now. I always enjoyed watching these on YouTube and stuff, but you made your Grand Ole Opry debut February 25th. That's a massive deal in country music, isn't it?
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was just, moving to Nashville, you kind of know that the Grand Ole Opry is the pinnacle of venues to play. And it was on top of my bucket list. And I remember when we got the call, my manager said, hey, you're playing the Opry, you know, in 3 weeks. And my heart just kind of sunk into my stomach I was already so nervous. But the people that have played that stage and have gone on to be members of the Grand Ole Opry, I mean, it is so ingrained in Nashville history that getting to do that was, I mean, something that I will never, ever forget. I hope we get to play it many, many more times, but that first time was just incredible.
Well, I bet, man. Before we let you guys go, we want to hear a little, if you will, a little verse of your new single, Would Have Loved Her, which if you do a music video for it, we would suggest you use Luke again.
Absolutely. It's a three-part series.
Or Ashley.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you'll be the love interest. I wrote this.
That could be weird.
So I wrote this song thinking about my grandpa, who passed away about 6 months before I met my girlfriend. And I just had this idea that, you know, if he were still around and gotten the chance to meet her, he would have loved her. And I brought this idea in with a good friend of mine who I write with all the time, Zach Kale. And we were kind of throwing ideas out and stuff. And he told me that his dad actually passed away before he met his wife, and we kind of, you know, knew that we were going to write this song that day. And yeah, this is my brand new single to country radio, and it's called Would Have Loved Her.
She's from a small town just like you. She's got a smile that can light up the room. She's pretty as a hallelujah. But don't let it fool you. She dance when she drinks. She say what she thinks. Makes me a better man like you did. I miss you and wish we just meet each other. Cause I bet you would have loved her.
Love it. Look, I just added to my Apple Music.
Well, thank you so much.
So good. So good.
It's awesome. Well, hey, again, that's Chris Bandy, everybody. Luke Pell is in his music video, Man Enough Now. debut self-titled EP released May 29th of 2020, and you had a hand in writing four of the seven tracks. Chris, Bandy, everybody, Luke, thanks for coming on. We appreciate y'all.
Thanks for having me, y'all.
Bye.
Love you guys. Thank you guys so much.
Love the way that Ben adds the y'all when we're talking country.
I know. It's just, come on. Gotta put it in, Ashley.
All right, guys. Up next, very interesting technology director and data analyst. Her name is Susanna. And in December 2018, she began analyzing the impact of The Bachelor on social media and analyzing data surrounding the franchise. You can find her data analysis on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Bachelor Data. So welcome her to the podcast, guys. Hey, Susanna.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what made you start analyzing the Bachelor data?
So it's a funny story. I had just become a technology director and I didn't know how to use spreadsheets. So nothing at the time sounded worse to me than taking an Excel class. So I decided to start following Instagram followers of people who were on the show to try to figure out if there was any correlation between what happened on the show that could lead to more Instagram followers.
It's such an interesting pursuit. And I came across your page kind of randomly, I think, during Tayshia's season was really the first time it came to light. And I mean, I've kind of been watching, and I think you might tell me different, but I feel like it has grown since Tayshia's season. Like, I think it really has caught fire. But the thing that I'm always so impressed with, there's so much data that goes into the show, right? Like what color dresses people wear, what color clothes people wear, how much screen time there are. Like what does it look like when you're watching the show and you're plugging in these numbers? Like how do you do it all and how do you conceptualize it into something that makes sense?
Yeah. So the night of the episode, I actually try to sit down and enjoy it. I sit down, I just watch and I just capture general screen time. So some segments during the show, like, is it a one-on-one date? Is it a group date? Then after the episode's done airing, I'll go back and rewatch it and I'll analyze for things like screen time. So I'll break down how long people are on the screen and who's featured. And then I'll also try to find some novelty things to collect data on. So this last week I analyzed dress colors. Were they sparkly? Were they not? And different things like that to try to see if there's any correlation between what we see on the show to tell us what might happen in the future.
So you've been doing this since 2018. So you've had a couple seasons. Are there any trends or themes that just seem to stay constant?
Yeah. So the big thing that whenever it comes to the show and data is screen time is golden. So if you are on the screen, you have a really big chance of increasing your Instagram followers. And I always find that interesting because you can't say that that generally always works, because when you look at different people and different types of screen time, there's a ton of variables that take place there. So not all screen time is equal. So if we look at last season with Tayshia, the Bennett and Noah drama, they got tons of followers out of that. So you can see that people are interested in following these people on Instagram after the show. But then if you look at some other people like Yosef, it doesn't really translate as well to followers. So it's interesting to look at what the screen time looks like and then how people look at it. But then looking at some other data, I think my favorite that I found is that the first one-on-one date, which is on tonight's episode, is one of the biggest indicators for The Bachelor, at least, on who's going to become the next Bachelorette.
Who in the past has had the first date and then become Bachelor, Bachelorette?
Yeah, so the last 12 seasons of The Bachelor, six of them became The Bachelorette eventually. So if we look at Hannah Brown had the first one-on-one date, Becca Kufrin, we had Claire Crawley, we had Ashley Hebert, we had Ali Fedotowsky, we had Jillian Harris. They all became Bachelorette and they all also had the first one-on-one date.
Very
so interesting. That's so interesting.
Now, what about when it comes to villains? Because I don't want to call Bennett a villain, but he was controversial, right? But he was in no way the kind of villain that Yosef was. So when it comes to villains, is there a kind of villain who gets more followers than others?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It's how likable they come across, right? So like Demi is a great example that she got played up as having drama in the house, but people love her. They follow her on Instagram. She went on Paradise. You know, she had a really, you know, likable personality, it seems, as because people are following her. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that not all villains are created equal. But the key thing there is that they're getting screen time and they're not disappearing in big group dates. They're getting screen time, even if they're not on a one-on-one.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about Data and why I find yours so interesting is, you know, you are just a few years in, so your data is still at a micro level. Now, over time, when you continue to do this, and I hope you do, it will become big data at some level. Like, you're going to have a lot of information, a lot of patterns that you can see. Do you feel, and no spoilers here, but are you starting to get a sense of what's going to happen in the show based on the data that you've already received over the last 2 years? Can you almost predict spoilers now for the show before the episodes even air?
Not really. So Okay. Something that's important when it comes to this data is that you have to remember that this is all focused around a show about somebody who's trying to fall in love with somebody. So you can't have data predict, you know, who is this person going to fall in love with? But there are certain things that can kind of give you early indicators on who's going to last long. And that's around screen time, right? They're not going to spend a lot of time, at least what I've seen so far in watching this show, gosh, since Jake Pavelka's season, is that they're not going to spend a ton of time building up somebody's character for them to only go home week three. So keeping an eye out on who's getting a lot of screen time, but you can really see around episode 4 and 5, at that point, who has a lot of followers, who's getting a lot of screen time, will generally indicate who's going to make it to the final 6 or so.
So screen time, anything weird, like anything totally unexpected, like the color that they wear, the tone of their voice, you know, weird entrances.
You know, one thing that is a really good indicator that I just started tracking during Clarentatia's season, that's been my first, you know, shot at trying to take featured screen time data. And I'm not talking like Ivan has a one-on-one date, so all that time goes to him. I'm talking, okay, it breaks from Ivan, goes to Tayshia, so let's stop the time for Ivan. When I take that, I'm also documenting if that's a positive, a neutral, or negative screen time. So it's kind of how the person's being portrayed. If it's a positive or if it's a neutral, and neutral's like, you know, they're in an ITM and they're just kind of narrating what's happening on the show. A negative would be, you know, the interaction between Bennett and Noah. Those with more positive screen time tend to make it further in the season.
Very interesting.
So let's make it about Matt James in here for a second, right? We've seen the first two episodes at this point, but on the first episode, we can see the limo entrances. And there are some really, like, I mean, this year out of any, I think they're super entertaining. They're very talked about. There's the two that stand out to me are like goat shoes and the vibrator. Mm-hmm. Those two I just thought were super intriguing. Could you tell from your data if one of them was better than the other based on following or response?
Sort of. So, you know, Katie, the one with the vibrator, she didn't gain a ton of followers. This last episode, it was really Abigail was the star of the episode. And that's normally true with every season. Whoever gets that first impression rose, they get tons of followers that week. And I'm talking surpassing 100,000 followers. But with the gimmick versus traditional limo entrances, the thing is that if you do a gimmick, you're going to be on TV longer. And normally, that segment, there's a structure to it where, you know, some of the women will come in, they'll have more of a traditional entrance, like, hi, it's nice to meet you. I'm so nervous. I can't wait to talk to you inside. And then you have the gimmicks, you know, you have the vibrators, but you also have the people who are showing up with a car or something like that. And they just generally get more screen time. So with that, you can build some more early on favorites because they're more memorable. But what's really interesting is if you look at the trend of gimmicks, actually your season, Ben, had the highest number of gimmicks overall.
Interesting. Interesting.
Looking at the past 6 seasons, but a lot of the people who actually make it towards the end all had gimmicks. So it's something that helps them be memorable, but it also helps with their story too, to kind of get them started.
You do some data on race representation, and we've seen over the past couple seasons that there's been a more diverse cast, more diverse leads. Is there anything interesting as far as that growth that's been demonstrated through the numbers?
Yeah, so I think this was one of my favorite things that came out of my data analysis. The first season I did was Colton, and Tayshia was actually on it. Mm-hmm. And that season I was really just trying to find tiny trends in the little amounts of data that I had at the time. And Tayshia was the first trend that stood out to me, because screen time didn't translate to followers for her. And the only variable that I could find there, and there was somebody else in her season two, was that they were non-white contestants. And something that's been really great that I've seen since then, that I've been watching it with this, you know, more of a data-centered attention, is that, you know, casting is one thing, but also seeing them in the storylines and having more screen time for them, it's been improving, especially Tayshia's season. If you look at the breakdown, and this way I try to do most weeks, especially once we can get past the first few weeks where I can actually recognize people, mm-hmm. Is trying to see equitably what's the breakdown of people who are white versus non-white, and then seeing, you know, are they shown equitably on the show? 'Cause that's also important in being able to see people on our screens that have different backgrounds, like we saw in Tayshia's season.
I'm telling you what, this is a great follow. You got to follow it, Bachelor Data. It's just interesting. I mean, even if you're not a massive fan of the show, this stuff has been intriguing to me every time you post about it, every time you share it. I'm into it. I watch it. It is, I think it's going to kind of like, I really believe this, as much as this is a fun project probably for you, I think it's going to revolutionize a lot of like how people watch the show. I think it's really going to like bring a different kind of interest and intrigue into each episode. Ashley and I both specifically on our iHeart text thread said, we got to get you on the podcast. Mm-hmm. We got to get you on again. Like, I think this is such a fascinating thing you're doing. Again, it's Bachelor Data. Now you're our last guest of this episode. And so here at the Almost Famous Podcast, we have something that is an honor to us. And I don't know if it's an honor to anybody else that ever does it or listens, but we're going to ask you to close out this episode with us. So if you can stick around for 1 second, this has been another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. We'll be back next week breaking down Matt James's third episode of his Bachelor season. It's fantastic. Such a fan of this season. Such a fan of Matt James. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
And I've been Susanna.
Woo-hoo! Hey, we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant, sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA. And I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.